Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com. I am Pastor Greg, and I welcome you to this special study on the day after Christmas in July, which was a Wednesday evening, July 26th meeting at BBF. The study was from Philippians chapter 2, covering verses 5 through 11, entitled, "And Being Found in Fashion as a Man." It's all about the incarnation of Jesus Christ. The conclusion of this study can be found at bbfohio.com in our Christmas and Holidays playlist. This is part one of two.
The current events update. Number one. Yes, on issue one, August 8, 2023 is the last day to vote. Early voting has already started. And some of us have already got that taken care of. Just go down to your Board of Elections and you can vote early.
Protect Ohio's babies and our Constitution by voting yes on August 8th. I'm Janet Porter, and I work to pass Ohio's ban on partial birth abortion, parental consent, and our heartbeat law to keep hearts beating. But if we don't vote yes on August 8th, we could lose them all. That's because of a deadly effort to inject abortion till birth in our state constitution. The threat is real. The polls are open. Your yes vote is urgent. Protect life. Vote yes on issue one by August 8th.
And anybody you know that will vote the right way, talk to them, get them, help them, give them a ride if they need it. If issue one fails, every nutty, wicked facet of the left-wing agenda will be codified in the Ohio Constitution. That's a fact. Number two, America's demise is by design.
The Cloward-Piven strategy was developed by Richard Cloward and Francis Piven in the 1960s. It outlines a strategy for radical social change by way of abusing the system to the point of destruction.
You know, we were associated with the social work tradition, which said that the programs worked as they were supposed to work. But they didn't work as they were supposed to work. And it was out of that realization, that insight, that we developed the strategy to end poverty, which called for a massive mobilization of social workers and lawyers and organizers to get people the benefits to which they were entitled. We were proposing a kind of movement that demanded what people were already entitled to by law, by regulation, by propaganda.
The primary goal of the Cloward-Piven strategy is to create a political and economic crisis that would destroy capitalism and lead to the implementation of a socialist system with a guaranteed income. The strategy involves enrolling large numbers of people into the welfare system, as many people as it takes to overwhelm and strain the system until it collapses. Everyone enrolled into the welfare system is also used as an army to carry out the destruction of the current system. They are registered to vote and instructed on how to vote. They are organized and mobilized and made to appear as grassroots organizations demanding more from the system. The ideal outcome of the Cloward-Piven strategy is to collapse the current system. According to their theory, this will compel the government to implement a universal basic income, which would then shift the U.S. towards a more socialist system with increased government control over the economy. Everyone is being encouraged to do it. Burn it down is the new sexy ring. In high school, they compare it to the American Revolution.
The Cloward-Piven strategy is a political gambit designed to overwhelm the American government by placing so many demands on the bureaucratic structure that it collapses. It's sort of a shock and awe campaign. A surprise attack on entrenched systems meant to force major changes to the ways that things are handled by the government. It may be messy, but it does harken back to a fundamental ideology of the American Republic. If it ain't fixed, break it.
All of this explains the likes of AOC.
What people like AOC are doing, what the squad is doing, is really very important, very important. But at the same time, there is this movement which is so big It's, some people say it's the biggest movement in American history. It's hard to know because it's hard to measure a movement, but it is big and it is interracial and it penetrates into every small town. I now am in upstate New York. The town I'm closest to has maybe 2,000 people. You know, we have little demonstrations in front of the post office for Black Lives Matter. And this is Trump country. Nevertheless, there is a Black Lives Matter demonstration. So it's a very potent and important moment in American political development. And we have to make the most of it, because if we don't, we don't know what's going to happen, but it's not going to be good.
Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
These people are not just lunatics, but they are devils with skin. And, you know, I grew up around a bunch of little old ladies, and they were the sweetest people you ever meet. Is when I became an adult, I realized that some little old ladies are devils. I've had to deal with some of those sweet little old ladies who are just full of the devil. She's one of them. You see that woman out on the street, and, you know, she'd probably look frail, and if I needed to help her open a door or whatever, I'd do it, you know. Then get to know her and find out she's a devil. And that's the acid generation growing up. They're all people who were in their 20s and the 60s. And they're now grown up, and she kept using that word entitled.
Oh, yeah.
That's the entitlement attitude. We were just, and it's not just, you know, it doesn't just say gimme, gimme, gimme to the government. It's everything. Gimme, gimme, gimme. We were driving down here, and this lady with like three kids, and she's walking along, just had a welfare family look to them, and crosses the road in front of traffic, doesn't even look. You know why? Because she's entitled. She's entitled to just walk out in front of anybody, and she doesn't have to look. You have to look. So that's the mentality you see. It doesn't just translate into give me all the welfare I can get. It translates into what you're seeing in society today. And number three. If you don't understand sarcasm and satire, we are here to help. So some people, a few of you, either lack the sarcasm and satire gene, or you're just a little slow with it. So we're just going to try to help you understand what this is called. We call this the Beeline Review, the Babylon Bee. Experts warn we have only 12 years left until they change the timeline on global warming again. How many of you get that? Started before I was even born, but I remember, you know, in the 70s, we were all going to die because of an ice age, you know. And they say 12 years, sometimes it's been as little as 5 years later, and then they'll change it and say, you know. And this past June was the deadline that they had given 12 years before, that if we didn't enact all their socialist nonsense programs, we were all going to die. Pinching myself. I'm still here. McCarthy says the 783rd impeachable offense by Biden will be the last straw. That's where you use an extreme to make a point, because there's all these impeachable offenses that Biden is committing, has committed, and they just keep saying, well, it's not really enough yet, but one more. But he's a hero. Biden announces he will donate the rest of his bribe money to charity. This is me. Conservative dismayed to wake up and find out he has to defend Jason Aldean's music. I'm not a fan of Jason Aldean, but he was canceled for making a song, Try That in a Small Town. And it's about Black Lives Matter and all these blowing up the in the streets, and he's like, yeah, you can get by with that up in Chicago and Portland and places like that, but try that in a small town and see what happens. It's an absolutely true song, But it gave us another example to show us that there is a cult controlling the entertainment industry who will cancel and censor and get rid of whoever they can who goes against their agenda. And he, Jason Aldean's getting a taste of that. Trump campaign hoping to lock up the GOP nomination with a third indictment. Because every time he gets indicted, his poll numbers go up, his lead over DeSantis and all the rest of them. Vivek Ramaswamy. I said that right, didn't I? And all those, I like that guy. And there's not really, this, you know, in 2016, there was only a couple guys running I liked. Yeah. This time, there's some good guys running. It's just, you know, they're not going to have a shot. They don't have a chance. And it's all right to run everything as long as they don't do irreparable harm to Trump's chances. And, you know, I'm showing my cards right now because I don't care. I'm at the point where the IRS wants to come after me. They ain't going to get anything. And they say, your tax-exempt status. I don't even know there's more than two or three people in this church that use who claim tax exemption anyway. But if you do and we lose that, oh, well. Because I'm telling you, it'd be like during Hitler's regime or during the Bolshevik Revolution, you know, standing up and saying, this is evil. And that's what I'm saying about the Democrat Party. It's evil. It is a wicked cult. And they project onto you. They call you a cult. They'll call you the fascist and all that. That's how they always did. Hitler did that with the Jews and the people he didn't like. He projected onto them the things he was doing. You know, Kristallnacht. Who'd they blame that on? The Jews. That's the way it works. So keep your sense of humor as you continue to be informed and pray and act accordingly. Amen? Yeah. All right. Got your Bibles open to Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. And being found in fashion as a man is the theme title of our study. And in this study, we will consider God becoming a man. There are a number of bullet points that you can list that separate Christianity from all other religions. Christianity, a lot of people like to say, well, it's not really a religion, it's a relationship. But it is a religion. James talks about religion. That's not a bad word. It can be a bad word. And when it's a religion of works and it's a false religion, that's bad. But one of the main points of Christianity is that only in Christianity do you have God himself coming down as a man and walking among men. And so then you have God himself dying on the cross, shedding his blood to pay for your sins and mine. And then you have God himself rising bodily from the tomb, conquering sin and death. And in no other religion did anybody die for your sins. And if they had died, they couldn't have, it wouldn't have done any good because they were nothing but sinners like you and me. Only Christianity provides a sacrifice that is not a sinner. He's God. He's without sin. And that's the man Jesus, the man Christ Jesus. So let's go ahead and read our text, beginning of verse 5 through verse 11. I'll have you read the odds, so jump right in verse 5 with me. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen? Now we're going to look at verses closely at verses 5 through 8, and then verses 9 through 11 are the consequence of those verses. But the longer I live and the more I learn, the more amazed I am at the incarnation. Amen. I can't speak for everybody in this room, but I'll just say for me, I am always amazed that Jesus would die for me. Amen. That God would come and die for my sins in the person of Jesus Christ. Yes, Doug?
Yeah, I think of that song, Why Me, Lord?
Yeah. Yeah, and another one is, remember the Happy Goodman sang, Who am I that the King would live and die for? It's one of my mom's favorite songs. So, verse 6, I said verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And then verse 6 says, Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. I didn't put these in the slides. We're going to look at a couple another place where the Bible, new Bible versions, your NIV, your ESV, your Legacy, your Living Bible, all those new versions have satanic corruptions in them. And one of them is this verse right here. They change this and say that being God was a thing to be grasped. That's what the new versions tell you. And it's a complete lie. Jesus not only grasped it, but he claimed it. He called himself, I am. Before Abraham was, I am. He called him, when they knew, they said they were going to kill him. And the text tells us it's because he made himself equal with God. So the new versions were translated by a bunch of bald-faced liars. And that text is Vatican. Yep. All the new Bibles come from the United Bible Society's text, which is the Vatican text, and it's a corrupt piece of garbage. Christians never used it until these last days, as we're seeing apostasy set in. Just so happens it's when they started adopting the new versions based on the Vatican Bible. It's just a sickening thing. The Bible says, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. That's the truth. Jesus is and always will be God. He was God before creation. We're told, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. He's your creator. All the false religions and all the cults deny that. They deny his deity and they deny that he is your creator. Yep. And Satan hates him. That's why those religions we know belong to Satan. When Muhammad denies that Jesus even died on the cross, claims that a counterfeit, a pretender, stood in as Jesus and died on the cross, says that Jesus didn't rise from the dead, Muhammad is a liar burning in hell right this moment. Buddha, Confucius, and every pope who denied it are down there with him. Satan puts an if before the truth. You know, if you put an if before the truth, you don't deny the truth outright. What do you do? Doubt. Plant doubt. Yeah. Who's got Matthew 4, 1 to 4? That was Mary. You can turn there real quick. We'll read along with her. And, of course, the context is Satan tempting. Well, she's going to read the context, the first couple of verses. Go ahead and read that.
Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.
As you see in verse 3, the tempter, that's Satan, came to him and said, If thou be the Son of God. If you don't know for sure Jesus is the Son of God, you're lost.
Yeah, that's right.
And if Jesus is the Son of God, then you shouldn't ask Jesus if he is. Satan is always putting those ifs in there to bring doubt to God's word. Satan's mode of operation is to instill doubt into the Word of God. That's why these new versions, not only constant, there's thousands of changes in those, the NIV, ESV, any of them, and you compare them. I tell people, they'll say, "Oh, I just can't believe that King James only is a man." Well, what's your favorite Bible version? Oh, I like, it's like going to Baskin Robbins. I like the blueberry, you know. That's what it is. Picking a Bible, that's how people pick Bibles. Okay, what's your favorite flavor there? Oh, I like the NIV. Okay, then go to the bookstore and get an NIV KJV parallel Bible. And every time you read that NIV, read that King James side by side. And be honest. And every time you see the NIV contradicting or changing the King James Bible, get your scissors out and cut that out of the King James side of that parallel Bible. You know why somebody won't do that? It's because their conscience, they know that's God's Word. Yeah. Hey man, if I thought that the new versions were better than the King James, I would not hesitate to cut that out of my Bible. I want God's Word. And if the NIV is right, when it says that Jesus couldn't grasp being equal with God, I'd cut it out of my King James Bible. Because that's the word of the devil there. But the truth is, it's the opposite. We've got the Word of God. Those new versions are of the devil. Amen. Remember back in Genesis? Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, "Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" See, he doesn't come right out and say, "No, that's not what God said there." But see, once he saw that she accepted the doubt, then he felt free to begin contradicting the Bible. Once Satan sees that you and your loved ones, any of your loved ones, will accept the contradictions of the new versions, it won't be long where they're totally contradicting the truth. Why are more and more churches going against the Word of God with gay marriage? Why are more and more churches going against the Word of God with abortion? Why are more and more churches going against the Word of God on all these fundamental truths? It's because first Satan brought doubt in their NIV and their ESV and whatever new trash that they're carrying. And once the doubt was there, and New King James, by the way. I had a New King James. I thought I was doing a good thing. I was reading out the New King James. But I went out and I took my own advice and I bought a New King James Parallel. And as I was teaching, I was like, "Well, I have to be honest with you. Right now, the New King James contradicts our King James Bible." And the church I was in, the very statement of faith for that church was that the King James Bible was our authority. And I had to say, according to what we believe, this New King James needs to be thrown in the garbage can. Yeah. Wow. You know what they did? They didn't actually go that extreme, but what they did was change their statement of faith, and that's when I left.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's what's going on all over the country. And church after church, who once took a stand on the King James Version, they are now changing their statements of faith. Mary?
I've been listening to Chuck Smith's stuff. I started in Genesis, and I actually heard him talking about how the New King James was coming out like in so many days, and he was so excited.
Yeah.
And I just wondered if he knew that he changed his mind later.
He was wishy-washy on it. He was the reason why Calvary Chapel had the King James statement. If you go to our website, I've added that to the Bible version issue page, so because there's so many Calvary Chapel people who have accused me of lying. So I put that on there so people can see when Chuck Smith was alive, the statement of faith for Calvary Chapel said that the King James Bible was the final authority. And yet, because the New King James came out and so many conservative evangelicals supported it, he got on board with it. Now, he still never changed his statement of faith, and he still always said, if the New King James looks like it's countering the King James, we stick with the King James. But it was still a step down that slippery slope, and now, fast forward to now, I believe he's a saved man. He died, and he went to heaven, and now Calvary Chapel is in the pit. And you know, he dug that pit they fell into, at least to some extent, with his own wishy-washiness. And as Satan tries to make you doubt the deity of Jesus, he also tries to destroy the doctrine of the incarnation, because they so go hand in hand. You can't really believe one without the other, but people try. There's seminarians, seminary graduates, who will talk out both sides of their mouth. And they'll talk about Jesus being divine, and then they'll deny that he's God in flesh. They'll talk about Jesus and his divine glorified words and all this, but then they'll deny he was born of a virgin. And it happens all the time in pulpits all over the world. Satan deletes the deity of Jesus. Here's, we're going to look at this as another new version, perversion. But in our Bible, it's correct. Who's got that?